Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Sarah Posner, who is a senior editor at Religion Dispatches and author of God's Prophets, that's P-R-O-F-I-T-S, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values. Her work has appeared in The American Prospect, The Nation, Salon, The Washington Spectator, The Religion Blogs at The Washington Post, and The Guardian, and other publications. She has an article at Religion Dispatches, The GOP's Race to the Dark Ages. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sarah Posner.
Thanks, Ian.
And I just have to give a brief update here as the results come in from New Hampshire. Sarah, at this point, Romney's still holding 35%, Ron Paul second, 24%, Huntsman 17%, third, Newt Gingrich at 10%, Santorum at 9%, and Perry at 1%. So it looks pretty much like a blowout in terms of Romney winning. And it's interesting to know that the religious right candidates, between them, barely got 20%, with Perry at 1%. I mean, why is he going to South Carolina? Has he made some kind of private deal with Romney to be a spoiler?
You really wonder about that. I think he probably thinks it's his last chance to break out of, what did he get in Iowa? 3%, 5%. He announced his candidacy in South Carolina. South Carolina is very conservative, has a large population of conservative evangelicals, unlike New Hampshire. But Romney is not completely lacking in support from evangelicals. He still gets, he draws some of his support from evangelicals. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to win both the Iowa and the New Hampshire caucuses. I mean, the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. I think that Perry, like you said, Perry's role is probably going to work to Romney's benefit, because if there are evangelicals who can't vote for Romney, either because, you know, they have questions about his Mormonism or because they have questions about his former stance on issues that matter to them, that vote is going to be split, and Romney will probably win. Which is exactly what happened in 2008 when McCain won the South Carolina primary.
Well, but back then, of course, they had Mike Huckabee, the vote was also split with other, just as it is now,
right,
on the religious right.
With him and
they didn't collapse. They didn't. Right, so they didn't coalesce around Huckabee, and this time they're not. Now I believe the power brokers on the religious right are meeting down in Texas, scrambling to settle on a anti-Romney candidate.
Exactly, and I think there are a handful of them, an influential handful, but still a handful, who are in favor of Romney. But again, it's very much like in 2008 when they felt that Huckabee, despite his status as a preacher and seemingly one of them, they had a lot of questions about his conservative credentials. And it was only later that some of them expressed regret over not having coalesced around him so that they would have a candidate who at least had the evangelical credentials that John McCain didn't. And if I could just add, I think that this will produce a similar set of circumstances as it did in 2008, where the nominee will be under pressure to pick a running mate that will be satisfactory to the religious right.
So given, Sarah Posner, that the Republican Party is largely a Southern party now, they've inherited the Dixiecrats, and although the New South is different from the Old South, one wonders whether there's still some vestiges of the anti-papist KKK dogma. As much as they hated Jews, they also were suspicious of Catholics, and it seems so odd that the two carrying the banner for the religious right are these two Catholic fundamentalists, Santorum and Gingrich.
Right. It is interesting because I think 4 or 5 months ago we thought that Rick Perry was going to be their guy, and all signs in August and September were pointing in that direction until he took the stage at the debates. But I think that by and large, while there still may be some vestiges of anti-Catholic bias, I think that's largely a thing of the past. I think on the religious right, they have long cultivated what Francis Schaeffer called relationships with co-belligerents, right? So they would make common cause with Catholics because they share a similar set of beliefs or a nearly identical set of beliefs on some of these core issues like gay marriage, abortion, funding for Planned Parenthood, this whole like laundry list of what are commonly referred to as social issues. So I think that the Catholicism itself is not an issue. I think that the stumbling blocks with those two candidates are whether they're electable, whether conservatives have questions about them not being sufficiently conservative on issues like, you know, government spending and the role of government and the fact that those two, Gingrich and Santorum, spent time on K Street. You know, so there's another set of suspicions about them, but I don't think it has to do with their Catholicism.
Well, at least the Catholics are consistent theologically in their pro-life position, because they're also against capital punishment and against wars.
Well, that's true of the Catholic hierarchy, but it's not true of these Catholic candidates.
No. Or perhaps the voters as well. But I know that they've made common cause with the Christian Protestant fundamentalists in the South over abortion, but they're not exactly in sync theologically. But I've never thought, for example, Sarah Posner, that most of what passes for religion in this country, particularly that which you see on television. It's hard to find the religious component. It always seems to me to have been and is a front for right-wing politics.
Well, I think that the way that the religious right has politicized religion and turned it into a way of basically attempting to marginalize their political opponents, attempting to make their political opponents seem not patriotic or not in sync with true American values, not real Christians. You know, that's the picture that they've tried to paint of President Obama, because he does not subscribe to the same form of Christianity that they do, and they've even gone so far as to question whether he is a Christian. So, yeah, it's been used as, you know, a hammer rather than more than anything else.
Again, I'm speaking with Sarah Posner, who's a senior editor at Religion Dispatches and author of God's Prophets, that's PROFITS, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values. She has an article at Religion Dispatches, The GOP's Race to the Dark Ages. And that's largely the article that I just referred to, in many ways about Santorum and about what he thinks of Griswold versus Connecticut. And it seems to me in that debate that ABC had over the weekend, the moderators seemed to miss a huge opportunity. Stephanopoulos managed to irritate the audience, didn't lay a glove on Romney, who completely did not answer the question and took it in a different direction, almost ridiculing the seriousness of it. And nobody brought up the fact that Romney is far more vulnerable on his support for personhood, which is far more pernicious, isn't it, than the idea of, I mean, to some extent, I suppose you could argue that Romney's right that no states are about to ban contraception. The fact that a presidential candidate is back in the dark ages supporting that concept is something to gasp at. But just walk us through your critique of that, if you will.
Well, yeah, like you said, all of these candidates except for Huntsman and Ron Paul, who signed it with a caveat, signed the Personhood USA pledge. And the personhood bills and ballot measures that are cropping up in states all over the country, and which was defeated in Mississippi this just past election in November, would, because of their language, their very broad language of when life begins and would effectively ban certain forms of birth control and, incidentally, certain forms of fertility treatments. So by signing the personhood pledge and basically putting your stamp of approval on that and promising to try to enact such a thing at the federal level if you became president, you're effectively saying, I'm in favor of outlawing certain forms of birth control as, you know, murder. So the fact that they were asked about the Griswold decision but weren't asked about that was a serious shortcoming by the moderators in that debate. But the whole reason it came up was on the campaign trail earlier in the week, Santorum had discussed Griswold versus Connecticut, which is this 1965 Supreme Court case, which invalidated state criminal bans on the sale or use of contraception, or the sale or promotion of the use of contraception. And he employed a very familiar argument on the right that Griswold created the privacy right that led to the decision in Roe and to the decision in Lawrence versus Texas, which is the Supreme Court case that invalidated the criminalization of sodomy, these anti-sodomy laws that used to be on the books. So while he's saying, well, I just disagree with this legal concept, the concept of creating this privacy right, by saying that you would be in favor of the overturning of Griswold, you're essentially saying, well, you know, if they overturn Griswold, then so, you know, whatever happens at the state level, if there's a state that decides to ban contraception, so be it. And that's the effect of saying that you think that Griswold was wrongly decided and should be overruled. Now, as a practical matter, are there going to be laws passed that ban contraception like the one that was invalidated in Griswold? I have a hard time imagining that, just because even the majority of Catholics and evangelicals use contraception at some point in their lives. But just the idea that that Santorum doesn't think that Griswold is the sort of Supreme Court decision that did some good for our society and is in line with the Constitution speaks volumes about how he views the state's role in regulating people's sex lives.
Well, I suppose the good news in this context is that Santorum is coming in fifth in New Hampshire,
right,
with Romney at 20% reporting. Romney's now at 35.4. Ron Paul's at 24.7. Huntsman's at 17. Newt Gingrich's is 10.3. Santorum's at 10.1, and Perry's at 1%. And already Romney's doing a victory lap, making a speech, talking about how America has to be strong and strong enough to the rest of the world to intimidate the rest of the world. That old Roman dictum: you don't want them to love us; you want them to fear us. I thought we'd gotten over that in the Bush era. He and Huntsman said he's going to continue the race. So, what do you think is going to happen down in South Carolina? Is Romney going to just ride in on the crest of these two victories?
I think Romney is going to be the nominee. And I think along the way, the Republicans who think he's either not conservative enough or not a genuine conservative are going to do everything they can, even if they can't stop him from getting the nomination, to yank him further to the right on all of these issues. Because think about it. Mitt Romney went from being someone who said that they thought that Roe versus Wade was correctly decided and that they would defend a woman's right to choose, to signing the personhood pledge. Okay? So when you think about that this has been the trajectory of his career, because this is what he needs to do and say to get the Republican nomination, you can see already the effect that the more conservative wing of his party has had on him. So he may ultimately be the nominee, but their thumbprints are going to be on him.
Well, he's already said in that the ABC debate that he's for overturning Roe v. Wade and kicking it back to the states, which we'll live in an America where you will have young women in red states going to Greyhound bus depots to leave the state to go to a blue state to get an abortion. And then there'll be these Christian vigilantes at the Greyhound bus station checking their papers. I mean, this is a nightmare.
Yep. Well, you know, Roe versus Wade has not been overturned yet.
That's true. I mean, I'm being a little apocalyptic here, but
right,
but the implications for what he's talking about are pretty grim.
Well, there are already states that have trigger laws which would automatically criminalize abortion, you know, without any further action by the legislature if Roe versus Wade were overturned. But the other thing to keep in mind, even while Roe is the law of the land, that there were a record number of restrictions on access to abortion passed in state legislatures last year. So this, what anti-choice activists call incrementalist approach, is working pretty well for them in terms of making it more difficult to get an abortion and to, you know, force Planned Parenthood clinics to close. So, you know, in many states, not only are there legal restrictions on getting an abortion, there are practical obstacles in the way because there aren't that many places where you can actually get an abortion. So,
well, just in closing, Sarah Posner, do you think that given how craven Romney has been jettisoning all of his apparent moderate views in order to get the nomination, he's moved as far to the right as anybody in this race. Will he have to stay there? I mean, is he essentially set in stone in terms of the new Romney, the new Christian right Romney?
Well, I think he's got to be. I mean, how does he walk back from signing the personhood pledge?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you know, he signed it. He thinks Roe versus Wade should be overturned. You know, he has said these things. So it seems difficult to believe that he could plausibly walk away from those.
Well, then it's up to Obama to speak for the majority of Americans who don't want to go back to the dark ages.
Let's hope.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Sarah Posner.
Thanks, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Sarah Posner, who's a senior editor at Religion Dispatches and author of God's Prophets, Profits, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values. She has an article at Religion Dispatches, The GOP's Race to the Dark Ages. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the possibility of a number of wars breaking out at strategic choke points around the world, in a concept that has been referred to as conflicts in the geo-energy age.
Some side with the leaves, some side with the seeds. But you and I will be undefeated by greed.